Over the course of our series here in the book of Revelation, we've gone back time and time again to remind you of the fact that things are a lot better than they seem. And that really comes out here in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon, and we invite you to spend time with us today and be encouraged. You know, Revelation can be a rather foreboding, scary proposition for most. The bowls, the seals, all of the judgments that God will pronounce on everybody. But as we've mentioned time and time again, at the end of the day, things are a lot better than they seem. So join us for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace and be encouraged, especially in light of everything going on around us. It's nice to be reminded who really is in control. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's program.
I invite you to turn in the scriptures tonight to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. We sort of hit a climax tonight, and then we begin this final look at the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation 21 and 22. Tonight we come to the important chapter 20 that deals with the millennial reign, and we will consider verses 1 through 10 tonight. I'd like to treat the final judgment at the white throne judgment next time, and we'll look at specifically that judgment and how that will take place and what that will mean. But tonight, we're looking at the first 10 verses of Revelation 20. This is the word of the Lord. Let's give our attention to it. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image, and have not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And there ends the reading tonight of God's Word. Revelation, the book itself, has really helped us to look at things from a little bit different perspective than we normally do. It's been showing us through figures and symbols the awful battle that we are in, and what this present evil age is like, and what we have to face in this present evil age. I don't know how you have felt so far all the way through. We've made it to chapter 20. This has been a great goal of mine in the ministry. I wanted to preach Revelation at least once. Maybe we should start it over. I don't know how you felt going through the book, especially as we began to get toward the end here. Even though it's showing us things over and over in different ways, I think it could become a little bit easy to get discouraged in this book. And feel like, is there any perspective of victory until we get to heaven? Do we just have to sort of hang our heads and grin and bear it until we get there? Are we really, just have to continue to go through defeat now? I think it would be easy to end up there in this book. But that's not God's perspective. That's not God's perspective at all. And as we approach the end of the book of Revelation, he's making sure we understand this. Actually, every way that you have looked at things, as you naturally look at things in life, and we see the news, and we see the media, and we see everything that's happening, all the evil that develops in the world, and the things that we face, Revelation sort of flips on its head and helps us to look at things correctly. And it's interesting to me that the very last chapter before we deal with the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell, the very last chapter gives us the kind of perspective about life now that the book wants to leave us with, which is the heart of this book. This is the final take when looking at history in this chapter. The final take. He's going to provide for us one more sweeping description of history. You get your last one tonight. All to say one thing. As I said in the beginning of the series. Remember? Remember the little story that I told in the beginning of the series? When these seminary students were playing basketball and they saw the janitor reading and they rocked up and said, "What are you reading?" And he said, "Revelation." And they said, "Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading?" He pulled a Philip, didn't they? They were going to help him. And he said simply, "Yes. Jesus is going to win." Remember that? Well, that's Revelation 20. And he is providing us this last description of history to say Jesus has won. He's won. And the truth of the matter, that everything that you're looking at the things that you're looking at in an earthly way, as we see them and as we experience them, is not the ultimate truth of the matter if we look at this from a heavenly perspective. It's a chapter meant to say you are victorious now. It's a chapter meant to do that. And don't forget that. Don't forget that as we leave this study soon. And now he's going to show us that. So let's begin with this tonight. The first thing that he does for us is show us something that's rather surprising. It's actually telling us that Satan is very limited. That Satan is very limited and that he, in fact, is the shackled one. He is. Scriptures have always told us this. We think of what Jude said about the angels who fell. They are reserved in chains of darkness for the judgment of the great day. You're kind of understanding that here. You're getting a perspective of that. They have no hope of redemption. They are merely awaiting their judgment, the fallen angels. So notice here then, in verse 1 of chapter 20, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he laid hold, seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut him up and set a seal over him that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be released for a little while." Remember that we are in this last cycle of the book of Revelation, and it's essentially showing us the dismantling of the devil and his kingdom. Everything so far now has already been systematically dismantled, if we're looking at it as Revelation has presented it. We've been systematically studying the judgment that is falling on the kingdom of darkness. Babylon has been judged. The false prophet has been judged. The beast has been judged. All that's left is the dragon. And that's who's left to get it in this chapter. But he wants to give you perspective about Satan in the present. The chapter is helping us to understand what Satan is doing and how he is limited and what he is subject to in this great defeat that has already happened and not yet fully happened, but will happen when he's cast into the lake of fire. I want you to think of this then for a minute. What you have pictured here at the beginning of chapter 20 is this angel. We've had a lot of language of a strong angel, an angel standing in the sun. This is just an angel. This is nothing big about this angel. "I saw an angel coming down from heaven, and he grabbed him." Sense of that is to say, this wasn't very hard. This wasn't very hard. God gave the command, an angel grabbed Satan. The angel grabs him here. The angel lays hold of him. The dragon, you'll notice, it's made clear so we understand who this is. This is the ancient serpent all the way back in the garden. This is clearly Satan. This is the call, the devil and Satan. This angel has a great chain in his hand, and the imagery is, boys and girls, that he takes the chain. You could imagine a cowboy at a rodeo, and he takes the chain like a lasso, and he throws it out, and he captures this raging beast that no one can control. This beast is out of control. This thing is ferocious. And the angel lassos him. The angel lays hold of him and casts him into a dungeon. And he is sealed up. Out of control devil thrown into a dungeon. And you'll notice here that the only time in the Bible this great thousand-year reign is mentioned is right here. He is bound up for 1,000 years. Now, we've looked at numbers in Revelation, and we've looked at the symbolism of all the numbers. Everything is symbolic. But we come to a lot of different views when we come to this chapter. I've tried to stay away from all of that. I can't really avoid it for a minute now. I really wanted to look at this without talking about every view under the sun. Sometimes it's just not helpful. But it is important so that it helps you understand, because people have heard this so much in the Left Behind series and the rapture and all these ideas that are out there about the millennium, that one of the predominant views that has been in place in our country for some time in dispensationalism, is that at some point there is going to be a secret rapture of the church. Any moment it could happen. The church will be raptured out. You will have a 7-year period of tribulation, the first 3.5 relatively calm, the second 3.5 terribly fierce against those who didn't get raptured out. And that's when they say the 144,000 of the Jews will be delivered. Following that, Jesus will return on the clouds of heaven, bringing his raptured church, who was raptured out. They would say, hey, the church hasn't been mentioned since chapter 3 and 4, therefore the church is already gone. The church is raptured out. He will bring the raptured church and then set up an earthly reign in Jerusalem in a rebuilt temple, reinstituting things that the old Jerusalem temple had, and have a 1,000-year reign of Jesus there, and then the nations will come to him. Think of the psalm that I read tonight that talked about the nations are going to come to the feet of Jesus. So that's a view that has been very prevalent, very popular. It's popular in many of the writings in the Christian bookstores. Well, I'm going to be bold tonight and say I have 110% saying without any measure of a doubt that view is wrong. That view is unbiblical. That view robs us of comfort. That view is missing everything the Bible is saying to us about the here and the now. Let me show you here tonight the big picture that you know in the Scriptures. Right now, Satan's bound. You believe me? He's got a big chain around his neck. Well, not literally. Some want to take that literally. Right now, we're in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. That's the claim. That's the statement of what some have called amillennialism. And you say to me, are you kidding? What world are you living in? Right? This can't at all be describing what we're living in now. Can it? Did you see Texas last week, Pastor? Did you see Vegas? You look at the state of the church. Are you telling me Satan's bound? Perspectives. This is why I love this chapter. This is perspectives. This chapter is turning everything on its head in terms of how we think things are going. That's the full thrust and point of this chapter, because it's full of so many surprises. You look at things and say, oh, it's so bad out there. I say it all the time. What generation hasn't? I still remember my grandma when she was living. Oh, you're going to see the end because it's so bad. Every generation says it. Every grandma and grandpa says it, don't they? It's so bad out there. This is the worst evil we've ever seen. It's bad. I'm not arguing that. You can look at it that way. But I think Revelation 20 is helping us in a different way to look at things and what the Lord is doing for us, looking at things from a heavenly perspective and understanding the reign of Jesus a little bit differently than establishing an earthly setup in the nation of Israel. The Lord is saying, I want you to look at this a little bit differently from a different point of view for a minute. The whole thing is going to hell in a handbasket. Not because of the devil, but because it's under judgment. So here's the question. You think guns can stop my reign? You think church shootings stop my reign? You think an axis of evil stops my reign? You think nations stop my reign? You think Satan's winning? Do you think that? You think all this mess that we're in right now is frustrating my plan? Says the Lord. You think so? You know what Revelation is saying to us? What Revelation is saying to us in this chapter very, very strongly and throughout the whole of the book is Jesus is reigning now. Martin Luther had such a perspective of this because he used to say, which confused people sometimes until they understood exactly what he was saying, he used to say, the devil is God's devil. What does that mean? The devil's not an independent actor doing whatever he wants apart from the Lord. In other words, he's not messing with the decree of the Lord and operating contrary to the Lord's power. The Lord is in control. Think about the message you know for a minute. And I think if we can look at the whole message of how it's been preached to you, you're going to see exactly what this is saying to you tonight. What do you know? What have you learned about the gospel? What has been preached to you your whole life if you've been in the church and a pastor has been preaching the gospel to you? What have you learned? Well, think about the life of Jesus with me for a minute. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, comes here. From the beginning, he's in a cradle, little tomb-like existence. Not even Herod can take him out. Not even Herod can take him out. Upon his growth and years as he advances, he goes out into the wilderness and the devil himself has a direct confrontation with the devil himself and beats him. In fact, Jesus was so adamant about this, he says in the course of his ministry, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. I got to bind him. Get that? You can't go into a strong person's house unless I first put a chain around him. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. How did he plunder it? Beaten, whipped, flogged, assaulted, hated, mocked, bloody, dying. Come the great words in the midst of it all. It's finished. What? He won. You would never have looked at the life of Jesus and thought he was winning. You would have never looked at him and thought he was a winner. There was nothing glorious about him outwardly. They hated him. He won. They were laughing at him on the cross. God is laughing in heaven. The rulers of the world take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And as Satan smiled, Jesus says, it's finished. Think of that. Dear disciples, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. When? He's told us. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now, the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. In other words, when I am resurrected and I am seated, it begins. You hear? Jesus looked at the people and he said it so clearly. The time of judgment has come. The prince of the world is driven out, and I'm going to plunder his house. I'm going to plunder his house by binding him up. And when I'm lifted up to the throne, I'm going to draw everyone to me. So Jesus dies. He rises. He enters into glory. And what happens? He's seated. Before he left, he said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. I'm reigning." Power. It's a reign, isn't it? It's the way that the scriptures have described it for us. All the apostles understood it this way. They kept speaking of it this way. Think of how Paul would encourage Christians about their freedom in Christ, that not to be caught back up into bondage with saying this, "You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." What did he do? He canceled the record of debt that stood against us. This, he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in it. Where? Cross. Hebrews, "You made him a little while lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." Now think of the call to worship tonight. "Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him." You don't see it with your eyes. "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Since, therefore, the children share in the same flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." You hear it over and over in their mindset. The cross defeated. The cross defeated. He reigns. They're all coming now. You say, what do you mean he's bound? Look again. What does Revelation say he's bound as? He's bound for 1,000 years so that, here's how he's bound. He should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years are finished. He's not bound in the sense that evil's eliminated yet. It will be. He's bound in the sense, he's not bound in the sense he can't roam around like a roaring lion. He's bound in the sense he can't deceive the nation.
The beginning of the end of our adversary, and you can see his power and getting stripped away from him in the fact that he no longer is able to deceive. What a marvelous point to consider as we close out our time together today. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
All right now, all the saints who have died, it's using the worst thing that we fear. This seems to say everything's wrong. What it's saying to us is all the saints are reigning right now with Jesus. And here's the ultimate encouragement. That's the first resurrection. In other words, what I just said to you was their death was a resurrection. It was a resurrection of their souls to glory. They went to be with him immediately. And you know what that means? This is why I love this. Anyone who wants to talk about a final judgment according to works and all these things, notice this verse just puts it all out. The second death can't touch them. The white throne judgment can't touch them. There's no power it has over them. They're reigning now. They're reigning now. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.